Judges chapter 7. And we've been going through looking at how God makes my best better and how he transforms the life of the individual, of the person that submits his life to him. You know, the world today is looking for reformation. Jesus Christ, there's transformation. And there's a vast difference between the two, isn't there? And the world wants to reform. You get into trouble, you get into drugs, you get into all these problems, they reform you. Go to the reform school, go to prison or jail, they're trying to reform you. And that's a good thing. But what people really truly need, you know, is transformation, complete change in their lives. Not starting over, but complete change. And so that's what we see here. We've been going through the last 3 or 4 weeks and looking at how God changes and transforms our lives. Now, the story in particular we've been going through is the story of Gideon. And we read last week how Gideon went through and he went down to the camp of the Midianites. And notice verse 13, if you will, chapter 7. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Now, as we heard this last week, we saw that God has already given us the victory, hasn't he? He's already given us the conquest. He removes the crutch. Those men came down and he said, Gideon, there's men are too many. You got to get rid of some of them. He got rid of them. Who's afraid and scared? Well, okay. And by the way, God doesn't want fearful, scared believers, does he? He wants strong and faith-filled people. Because when he puts the pressure on us and the heat on us, we tuck tail and run. God says, I can't use you. I need somebody that I can depend upon, somebody that's strong. By the way, number one step is salvation. If you don't know, you're saved. You say, I don't know, right? If I were to go out today, hop on the highway, go drive into town to get lunch, and bang, something were to happen, and God forbid I lose my life and an 18-wheeler hits me. You know, all these scenarios we could say. But are you sure? You've got to make sure. You've got to make sure and make sure of your salvation. We hammered on that a little bit already a few weeks ago, but I always want to say that. Are you sure about that? But what he does is he removes the crutch. And then he goes down, you know, to the water, and he says, all right, now make sure you see whoever runs down and just starts, you know, gulping down the water, not paying attention, not being focused, none of that. Get rid of them. And he ends up with those 300. And you and I ought to be sober, we ought to be vigilant, we ought to be aware of what's going on around us. The average Christian today is not sober and vigilant. We watch whatever, we do whatever, we're not aware of our surroundings, you know. Very, very dangerous. And then our kids turn 15 and 16 and we go, what in the world happened? You know, what happened? And you think about some of this. Now, coming back to this, it comes, we said, by hearing the word of the Lord. Hearing the word of God. It said Gideon heard the word and he followed through. Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And Gideon was a humble man. He went and served. He wasn't looking for the accolades, was he? Even in fact, we'll see later on, we may not get to it, but I'd encourage you to read through the story at the end. They said, Gideon, be the king, rule over us. Gideon says, no, I don't want to do that. Not me, God is your king, God is your judge. You serve God. He's a humble man. And people want to look to be the hero and everything, don't they, today? Oh, you got to be here. If you're a nobody in the back, and you're nothing. No, that's the world's philosophy. God, Jesus Christ's philosophy is what? You go to the bottom. And he says, you want to be number one? You start out at the bottom. You minister, like the little girl. She had an assignment for her class, and she had to write down who her favorite person was, who her hero was, who she thought was the best person in the world. She was thinking about it. Who's the strongest person, and man, the best looking person, and boy, she just really looked up to this person. And finally, she decided on Dad, D-A-D, Dad. And she presented it to her class and all these things, and she came home with it. And the dad said, boy, honey, I am so thankful. Why would you choose me? What made you choose me? She said, well, I couldn't spell Arnold Schwarzenegger. So. I could spell Dad, D-A-D. But it's often we look for the hero, don't we? We want to be the hero. But notice he says, Gideon humbled himself. He heard the word of God. When we do, it calms our heart to walk forward, and go forward in life. What keeps hindering you? Paul says to the church at Galatia, what hinders you? Who hindered you? What is stopping you from growing and following the Lord? And often we have hindrances in our lives. You will not grow. You can't love roses and not hate weeds. I mean, you've got to get rid of that, or it's going to just kill your garden. You've got to say, God, here's my life, heart, I want to consecrate to you. I said thirdly that it then claims the hope to win. And talking about God's given us the conquest already. We live in the present tense, the victory. We have the victory. It's not past tense, it's now. Do you live in that victory? Too many Christians, they hope and live on happiness and not joy. There's a vast difference between the two, isn't there? Happiness and joy. Happiness has to do with, we get the root word from it, what happens? My happenstances in life. If everything's fine and the temperature's just right and church is at this time and there's donuts in the back, then I'll come to church, you know, whatever. Or if everything's going well and marriage, we're not fighting, you didn't argue on the way to church today, I hope you didn't, but everything's fine, everything's dandy, then I'm happy. That's not, the Bible never says happy. Did you notice that? Let's say, the Christian should be happy. It says it ought to have joy. Joy has to do with our stance in Christ. We don't live by happiness, by what happens. The temperature, the circumstances, no. But we're a thermostat. We set the temperature. That's Christian joy, right? And you think about it. By the way, some of you can let your face know that you're joyful and happy. Talking to myself here. Let your face know it. We walk around with a pouched lip and walking around soft and so down and out. People wonder why. You want me to come to church? You want me to follow that Christianity? No thanks. I'll go to the bar and get happy there. Now, notice here, then secondly I have, there's the relay of the command, the relay. Notice verse 16, and he divided the 300 men into three companies and put a trumpet in every man's hand. Notice, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Now, notice this, they don't have a weapon. Interesting. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. You might want to underline that in your Bible. As I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now, he relays the command that God gave him to the people. To the people. Do you know that's all we're doing as we share the gospel, as we preach the word? That's all we're doing. You don't have to come up with your own thing. You don't got to come up with your own gospel, with your own way. I wonder how I'm going to reach this person. Relay what the Bible says to the individual. And it says, as I do, notice the example, as I do, so do ye. Notice number one, the standard he set. The standard. Paul will later say, follow me as I follow Christ. So many people follow man, don't they? They follow man. Hey. You love them one day, you hate them the next. Too many in Christianity, we followed in man worship. We worship a man, we worship a pastor. No. And then they fall from grace. They're in sin, and they still worship the guy. They still follow the pastor that fell from grace. No, the guy is an apostate. Now, the standard which he set, follow me as I follow Christ. When I stop following Christ, don't follow me. Okay? Now, notice Philippians 4, verse 9, those things which ye have both, notice, learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. As you've seen in me, the example that I set, that I follow, oh, what an example we need to be to our families. What an example we as fathers need to be. As mothers, you need to be. Even as kids, you could be to other people. Examples of following Christ. Examples of holiness and righteousness. Gideon says, as I do, so shall ye do. Follow my lead, guys. Follow what I do. Do as I do, right? Parents will often say, you know, do as I say, not as I do. That's terrible, terrible philosophy of life. Just do what I tell you to do. And then we go do something else. We ought to be following through. You know that. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men and should be able to teach others also. Faithful men. We need more faithful people. Those that when they get knocked down, they get back up. When they get knocked down again, they get back up. I'm reminded of the story. The coach came to his assistant coach one day. And he said, coach, what are we looking for in the players? He said, well, we're looking for those strong ones. We're looking for those hard soldiers, those players that'll just keep going. He said, okay, coach, we're looking for the guy that when he gets knocked down and he stays down, we don't want him, right? He said, no, we don't want him. We don't want him. He says, coach, we want the guy when he gets knocked down, he gets back up. The coach looked at him. He says, then when he gets knocked back down again, he gets back up. When he gets knocked down a third, he just will not stay down. We want him, right? The coach says, nope, we don't want him either. The assistant said, you're kidding me. What do we want? He said, I want the guy that's knocking everybody down. That's the guy I want. That's the guy I want. The strong, the faithful, the mighty. Now, don't knock people down, okay? I'm not advocating violence here. But we need that, right, today. More people to stand, to get flaky and fickle, and something happens, a little tiny thing. Somebody offends you. Somebody doesn't respond the way you want them to respond. Somebody, oh, I'm all upset. You're going to come to church and wreak havoc. You're going to make snide little comments. You're going to say things that are hurtful and pointed at them. Oh, I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean it that way when I said that. Oh, we got to be careful, right? Now, I'm preaching to myself a lot of this. Be very careful. Now, we need faithful people. We need people that'll stand, humble people. Now, notice I have here thirdly, the sword of the Lord is our battle cry. The sword of the Lord. What's he say? He says, now, notice verse 18. When you do this, say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord. He doesn't say Gideon's sword, Gideon's mighty hand, Gideon's mighty sword. What does he say? The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Gideon's secondary and of me. I'm just a humble servant. What's our sword, by the way? It's our Bible, isn't it? The Word of God. Our one weapon, as you recall in Ephesians, is the Bible, the sword of the Lord. Everything else is primarily protective armor, isn't it? The helmet, the breastplate, the girdle, the shoes, all of it. And we carry with us the sword of the Lord. As we looked at a couple weeks ago on Sunday night about the Word of God, Peter says, where can we go? Where should we go? You have the words, plural, words of eternal life. You have the words. Now, the sword of the Lord is our battle cry. As we look at this, again, Ephesians chapter 6, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, we've been through before, but the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Revelation 1:16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Again, we're talking about Jesus Christ, sharp two-edged sword. And we will, by the way, as I said before, be judged out of this book. We'll stand before Christ one day. If you're saved, you'll stand before Christ. You'll give an account for this life. Paul makes that clear, and will be judged out of this book. Not what mom and dad did, not what brother so-and-so did, but what does the Bible say? Did you follow it? Did you look through it? Oh, the sword of the Lord. We have a Bible that we can trust. I heard a story, I think it was last week, it was pretty funny that the girl, old elderly lady was sitting in church, and the preacher stood up and he was reading one of the newer version Bibles, you know, and he read John 14. He said, and we'll one day have when we get to heaven, we'll have many dwelling places to live in. Those were the newer versions. And the old lady said, what? Newer? She stood up in the back and said, I've lived in a junky old house my whole life. I don't want a dwelling place. I want a mansion. I want a mansion. King James Version says mansion. I want a mansion. That's what we have today waiting for us. We go forward and fight. We keep going. Why? We have many, many rewards waiting. I hope that you have. Now, let me say this. Now, there's a reward for the child of God. A reward. Now notice verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. They had but newly set the watch. They blew the trumpets, break the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and break the pitchers and held the lamps in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. The Lord set every man's sword, notice, against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled. The host fled. Now, notice this. Gideon and his men didn't even have to fight. They broke the pitchers, cried out. All the guys turned on each other. And isn't that like God? We go, oh, Lord, I can't handle it. I can't do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. God says, you're not going to do anything. I'll do it all. If you just follow me and obey. God will rarely make us go through something that we're so worried about and fearful about, so fearful. There's a reward for the child of God. Genesis 15:1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in the vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I'm thy reward. Yeah, but Lord, how are we going to handle? I'm your reward. But you want us to move out in the, to, you don't even tell us where we're going and live in a tent and sell all that we have? Keep going. Yeah, I'm your reward. I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. Is Jesus all you need? Is Jesus your reward today? Following him, trusting him. Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward on earth. You will acquire many vehicles and a large house and a big bank account. Does it say that? Your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. For if you love them, verse 46, which love you, that what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Matthew 6:1, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And I said before again, don't look at your rewards now. People that have all these fancy big stuff and everything's going peachy keen for them, they already have their reward. It's already here. It's already here. We're looking to a reward in heaven. A reward in heaven. You drive maybe not a nice car, you don't have the nicest of things, and by the way, we are so blessed. I mean blessed. So blessed. You could drive right now 4 hours and you could reach the border. And just, if you've ever been to El Paso before, you drive down the highway and you're running along the fence line. You look over probably, what, maybe 200 yards. They got it rough. I'm talking just over the border. And we sit here in an air-conditioned, padded chairs. We're not going home. Honey, what are we going to have to eat? Do we have just a little bit of rice we can feed the kids? No. What do we go home? Anything we want to eat, literally. You have your health today. You're not sitting in a waiting room waiting on the prognosis of a child. You're not trying to make plans at a funeral home, right? One of my cousins text me yesterday, and they I told him we were praying for the situation. One of his family members, their baby died. And he was telling me they didn't even get to hold the baby. Baby was born, they immediately took it away and it passed. You know, you think about, we're so blessed, aren't we? And yet, we still look for rewards here. If you're like me, we ought to be looking for the rewards in heaven. Oh, we're so blessed. God says, I have something for you. You ought to be thankful for every day. You ought to be thanking Him. Hebrews 11:26. Oh, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Notice, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Recompense. We don't often use that word. The recompense of the reward. God will pay you back. Don't you worry. God will take care of you. He'll pay you back. He'll take care of you. Well, I've served so long, God hasn't done much for me. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Now notice, this reward is unconventional, meaning it's not of this world. People say, what's your reward? What do you live for? Jesus, serving Him. Yeah, but you don't have much. That's okay. Number two, it's undeniable. It's undeniable. It's God's reward. It's God's reward. Unconventional, undeniable. It's unmistakable that God is the victor. It's unmistakable. Who conquered? Gideon, you guys did a great job. Man, you guys must be really talented. You must be special ops guys that can handle the sword and the sling. Man, you did a lot. You took out all those thousands and thousands and thousands of Midianites, just 300? Nope. We didn't do anything. What do you mean? We just stood on the hill, broke a lamp, and screamed. You're kidding. Yep. God did it. It's unmistakable. And if you constantly trying to prove to people that God's doing this, oh, I hope they can recognize and see. Oh, you're not. You're missing the point. Let God be God and let God do it. Let God reveal who He is to people. How am I going to reach them? What am I going to do? Let God do it. You be who you're supposed to be. Show up where you're supposed to show up. Do what you're supposed to do. You want me to stand on the top of the hill and hold a lamp in my hand and break it with a stick and scream aloud? Lord, that's unconventional. That doesn't make sense. God says, yeah, but do what I ask you to do. When you obey, I'll reveal more of who I am. I'll show you what I'll do. But people can't get past that first step, can they? They can't get past the first step of obedience. Ah, I don't get it. I don't get it. Now notice the reward. We have a reward. A reward waiting for us. Let me say here, and I'll have to wrap it up here. There are the ready critics. Now notice chapter 8. The victory's come and all the things have happened and everyone's just hooting and hollering in victory, right? Chapter 8, notice verse 1. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not, when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. He said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? Now notice, they come to him, the men of Ephraim. By the way, notice, it's after the battle's already won. Where were these ding-dongs in the beginning? Why didn't you help us? Do you know when things happen, I'm thinking about this and I pray one day it'll happen. Maybe build a nice church. Maybe the Lord will bless us and see growth and stuff. And then these people are going to come around. Wow, boy, we had a part of this. Good thing we were here in the beginning. Good thing. No, you dear people, have been in the trenches. And you show up when no one else will show up. And you give when no one else gives. And you take care of. And you come and do stuff like this and take care of stuff like this. That's you. Now listen, they come after the battle's won, isn't it? The critics come out of the woodwork. Why did you do that? You're just trying to build a church. Why would you start a church? Why would we not start a church? Why would you do that? Why do you hold these standards and this standard? After the ready critics come out of nowhere, the battle's over. The battle's won. Notice attention on what they didn't get instead of the victory. Why didn't these guys say, man, Gideon, God bless you. I wish you would have called us. We would have liked to help you. But man, praise God. You did a great. Thank you for standing up for the nation of Israel. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for preparing a message each week. Thank you for preparing and doing the things you're supposed to be doing. Thank you for reading your Bible. Thank you for praying. Thank you for holding your family together. We go through, right? There's a tension. What they didn't get instead of the victory. Praise God for that. Praise God. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. When we look for a pat on the back, we're going to get a right in the gut. Or other place, right in the gut. You're going to go, sheesh, I was just trying to do what was right. Jeez, I'm just trying to lead my family, right? Jeez, I'm just trying to, wow. You get a punch in the gut. And notice the victory. Attempt number 3, attempts to distract us from what is important and take away the rejoicing. Now beware of this again. Not the ungodly, unsaved world. Fellow Christians, are going to try and take your joy from you and try and take the reward from you and try and take the rejoicing out of your life, okay? They're going to try and take it. These were fellow brothers, Ephraim, a brother, a tribe, a brother of Manasseh. And they said, well, why don't you call us? And they chided with him sharply. They let him have it. They put him down. Boy, they just went at it. I will confess it this week. I must confess to you this week. I was driving down the road, down Old Dinkle, and wasn't paying attention. And I was cruising along, and I thought everything was fine. There's a car in front of me and a car behind me. Good night, okay? I'm safe, right? Here comes the police, past me. Vroom. And I saw, it was a her. She hit the brakes, turned her lights on, and turned around. In a split second, do you ever have the thought, do I want to punch it and run? Or is that just me? Please don't record. No, I'm just kidding. I had the thought. And then my wife was luckily, we don't believe in luck. Praise God, she was with me. And she looked at me and went, don't do it. I said, okay. So I stopped. I pulled over to make sure. Yeah, sure enough, came right behind me, pulled me over. And praise God for our law enforcement. Thank you for you. I appreciate that. But I thought about it and I said, there was a car in front of me, a car behind me. How come she got me? And I was telling my wife said, shut up. Don't say anything. Shut up. So I said, okay. And she's like, sir, blah, 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 you know, this and that. Do you want to go to court? Do you want to pay the fine? I said, I'll just pay the fine. And I chided with her sharply. And I was very nice. I said, thank you very much. She's like, where are you going in a hurry? I said, nowhere. I just wasn't paying attention. And then I wanted to say, what about the car in front of me? What about the car behind? We're all going the same speed, weren't we? But I didn't. I took it. I don't know why I wanted to say that. But anyways, thank God for you law enforcement out there. And we love you. But sometimes you think about it, you're going, oh. The critics came, back to my message here, thank you, after the battle's won, they tried to take the attention away, distract us from what the victory was, what was at hand. Now, let me come back to this, making our best better. God removes the crutch, he takes away, he reveals the conquest to us, we already have the victory. Now, where are we at? If I don't have anything to lean on as a crutch, and you've already said I have the victory. Lord, what in the world am I supposed to do now? What do I do? And what does God tell Gideon? Obey me. It's unconventional. It may be strange to you. Remember your reward's in heaven. That's why you're working in an unconventional way in this world. Okay? Now find out what the Bible has for you and do it. You've got to. You cannot rely upon a pastor on Sunday to tell you what to do, a parent every morning to show you what the Bible, you've got to find out what the Bible says. And you've got to do it. and you've got to begin to walk by faith in maturity. Now, in the beginning, let me just conclude here. Gideon said, Lord, I'm nothing. I'm the least of the least. I can't do anything. I'm not good. He didn't say some of those, but you understand some of the context there. I'm the least of my father's house. And God says, what I see in my will is not what you see. What I see is a mighty man of valor. And what you see is a nobody. And what you see is untalented. And what you see is unconventional. And what you see is not good enough. Maybe you had someone in your family or life tell you growing up, you're not good enough. You can't do it. That's not what God says. God says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And God says, I have a will for your life. You're a mighty man of valor. Gideon says, me? He says, yes. If you'll follow me, if you'll not do it your way, Gideon, you do it my way. You follow my rule book. You do what I've asked you to do. Why? So you can put a bunch of rules on my life and hinder and hamper my life? No. So I can give you life abundant. You don't want to be gleaning the wheat out on the backside, hiding from the Midianites and least of your family all your life, do you? No. You want to be a mighty man of valor and lead and be the president, literally, of Israel? Me? Okay, what do? Follow the book. Do what I've asked you to do. And my friends, we're not looking for that kind of limelight on this earth when we follow the Bible. What are we doing? We're looking to follow Christ so we can gain our rewards in heaven one day. All right, I'll stop there. But as we think about it, I hope you're praying and looking at, Lord, I want to do more for you, both now and at the judgment seat, that you would be pleased with my life. All right? I hope that's an encouragement to you. Ask God today, Lord, I want to make my best better for you so you can use me. Would you please help me? First step, though, is salvation. Make sure you're saved. Do you know you're saved today? I'd love to take you privately and show you. Not publicly, not make a big show. Privately, show you from the Bible. Make sure of it. I thought I was saved, but I want to make sure that I'm saved. Secondly, if you are you following through? Asking God to take your life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my best to make it better for your honor, for your glory. All right? Amen. Let's pray. Today, Lord, thank you for the opportunity again, as I say each week, to share your word to these dear people. Father, they're so faithful, and I'm thankful for that. I say, Lord, as I did in the message, if anyone here doesn't know you, they're not sure, and maybe they're at a point in their life where they're saying, Lord, I'd like to know. I haven't really thought about it much, but, you know, once you said that, I would like to know for sure that I'm saved. Lord, give us the direction with that. I pray that they would, Father, follow through in that. If those, as I believe most in here are saved, Lord, help us to, Lord, come before you and say, Lord, I want to know and do your will. And I want to, Lord, stand before you one day very, very soon. And I want you to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You didn't have much on earth. You didn't have much going. You weren't popular. You weren't in the limelight. People didn't pat you on the back. But the Lord would say, I saw that you did, and I'm proud of you, and I thank you. But Lord, help us today. We remove the crutches, Father, and we acknowledge that we have the victory already in you. And we ask that you do a great work here. Do your work. Help us to just simply obey. Walk forward by faith one more day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.